am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Yes, my friends, Jesus can make you kosher, and it doesn't matter your background. And we want to welcome you to a beautiful Friday edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. It's a gorgeous Friday, sunny Friday afternoon here in Metro Detroit. Hope it's nice wherever you're listening. Maybe you're streaming us live at faithtalk1500.com. In any case, we want to let you know that Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com for a wealth of really good articles, sound files of some of Rabbi Lauren's outstanding sermons. Really encourage you to visit our website. You can also sign up there and get our free monthly Shema newsletter. You can get it via email or regular mail. We're happy to do that for you. And we're going to do something a little different on this beautiful Friday afternoon. We're going to play a little Jewish blues for you, a little soul music. So I want to get in the mood for some really choice tunes on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Have a listen to my friend, Jeff Cook.
That deal today, make a little money on the business trade, everything is gonna go your way, it's gonna go your way, it's gonna go, but you do not even know what tomorrow may bring, and you are just a mess, vanish in the new morning, so instead what you want to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will work and play. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.
I'll tell you, that is some choice music. And I want to introduce our Jesus Made Me Kosher audience to the man who wrote it and recorded it, dear brother in the Lord, Jeff Cook. Jeff, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Hi, Rabbi Glenn. Thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, man, it's great to have you on. I've been looking forward to this. I got a chance with my family to see you guys at the Jews for Jesus conference last fall, and I tell you what, we were just blown away. So I've been really looking forward to turning our audience onto this music. And, you know, Jeff, I just so appreciate the message there. Now, that song is it's just perfect, right? We don't know what a day is going to bring. Scripture tells us, don't say, well, tomorrow we're going to go over to this city or that city and make money and do business and then go on from there. We don't know. And really appreciate that. Talk to us about, well, first, what I'd really like to hear is how Jesus made you kosher, how the Lord worked in your life to bring you to a knowledge of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah.
I would love to talk about that. Okay, so I would say that it started in the sanctuary of the synagogue. It's kind of what I call spiritual tremors. But as a little kid, I really remember that sanctuary, a set-apart space for this person, this God. And I remember really being affected by that and wanting to slip in there any chance I could, even if nobody was in there, but it was just, you know, Hebrew school and kind of between classes or something. I'd go in there and it was a powerful thing, and it kind of really firmly implanted the God concept in my heart. And also, obviously, seeing a lot of people gather there on a regular basis to pray, just that all kind of reinforced. So that was one thing that I think kind of began my heart to start to think and consider and be interested in God.
So you were a mystic early on, I guess.
it's really true. It's kind of like the romantic mystic. I was a very reflective kid, and so that was definitely happening. But so it was a Reformed Jewish home. It was actually a conservative synagogue, but I would say that our home was more like a Reformed Jewish home. So we weren't really observant on the ceremonial aspects, but what was really reinforced was Jewish culture and also this really intense focus on ethics, which is often common in Jewish homes. But I remember my mom, having me sit down and watch the Roots miniseries about slavery and the whole episode with Kunta Kinte and Toby, and it was really, really powerful to me. Just understand, and that was an interesting thing to be kind of have ethics drilled in, because it introduces the problem of evil, good and evil, and kind of the clash there. And even though I couldn't articulate those things to my mind, you know, that was all playing out because I understood that there was evil outside in the world. And I also saw it in, you know, there was conflict in the home sometimes, there was conflict within myself. And so those things really kind of, I remember wrestling with God, you know, even as a little boy late at night and trying to say, you know, are you really there? And if so, why did these things happen, you know? And just as intriguing to me was the problem of good, because you had wonderful things, obviously, in life. You had laughter, and you had familial love, and you had a lot of things that we treasure in this world. And so that was like a real shaping influence for me, was that clash. And, you know, eventually when I got old enough to, like, beginning of high school, I remember being much more, those things kind of faded in the background, and I had really other weightier questions pressing on me, like, you know, how to keep up with the Joneses.
And where's the party on Friday night?
So those things kind of fell away at that point for a time, but I did get tired, even after just a couple of years of kind of your typical American suburban concerns or superficial concerns. I had this really restless spirit, because I still had those things shaping me, and the feeling like there was something more. There was something to know about this world, and so I wanted to kind of get out of the usual routine. At that point, I began to hang out with people that, I guess you would call it, sort of in the late 80s and the early 90s, sort of a neo-hippie kind of a movement of people that was just kind of a subculture that listened to the music from the hippie generation and kind of had this, you know, interest, this larger interest in exploring things outside of kind of your typical American norms. And so at that point, you know, I got really engaged in music and in thinking, you know, try to explore new ideas and also, you know, substances, whatnot. But there was kind of this spirit of, you felt it scratched an itch for a time. Of course, it didn't really deliver long term, but it felt like things were at least making the attempt to be more authentic. So,
well, it sounds like you were like most of us, looking for significance, looking how do I make my mark in this world?
Absolutely.
What's that niche that I'm supposed to walk in? Now, let me ask you a quick question, Jeff. And by the way, for those who have just tuned in, you're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and we are talking to my dear friend Jeff Cook, Messianic Jewish believer in Yeshua, fantastic songwriter and performer, and just talking about how he came to know Messiah Yeshua. Jeff, at what point did a guitar find its way into your hands?
That would have been sort of in this musical engagement time, where it was later high school and early college, that music just, I suddenly realized the power and thrill of music. And so I just really enjoyed playing as well, just on my own as well.
Mm. Okay. Well, you know, I wanted to be a drummer, and my mother said, you better pick another instrument. We ain't having drums in my house. My father appealed to my ego and said, well, if you play guitar and you're in a band, you're out front. I said, sounds good. So you're, what, in your late teens, early 20s when things begin to coalesce for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Both musically and spiritually. So I was continuing to – I started writing music. I realized I was an English literature major, and it seemed kind of easy and natural to bring words together. And then for whatever reason, it also – music sort of just there. A lot of times, you know, I would hear words, and then whatever they were from other people or from my own head, and then – or, you know, from books I read, and then music was just there. But spiritually speaking, it was an interesting time, because I was – you know, I kind of imbibed a lot of there was just this de facto spirit of, you know, nonconformity and wanting, and, you know, anti-traditionalism. So I sort of imbibed that with the rest of the community that just kind of was there. And You know, but at the same time, we felt like we were really, you know, exploring new terrain. So there was this opening to the spiritual ideas. In fact, I remember that I had this notion at one point that, you know, well, thoughts are not physical. Now I know that they're biochemical, but they're not just that. They're something more. So it was things like that that made me realize, kind of in my own way, that there was this spiritual dimension. But I thought it was like this kind of mystical, if you could, quasi-Eastern mystical ideas. And, well, the one thing I was sure that it wasn't was kind of that old-time, you know, old-time religion, whether it was, you know, Judaism and Christianity. And so at that point, I had kind of grown into more of a kind of a postmodern, you know, atheistic and almost a hardened atheism, because I knew that I wanted people to be healed and find significance, as you said, but I thought religion was the problem, not the solution. And so I tried to stamp it out at that point wherever I could find it. It was kind of like it was an early iteration of what, you know, we're more familiar with now, the Christopher Hitchens idea of, like, you know, oh, it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. It's not just it wasn't just a neutral opinion of kind of religion and traditional ideas like that. But then, interestingly, I had a friend of mine that had for many years been a part of this broader community, and he called me up one day, and you know, he said, I want to tell you that I believe in God and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I was just like, what? How is that possible? it was to me at that point where I was, it was like somebody calling me up and saying, you know, I want you to know I believe in aliens and I am an alien. It was that wild. So I couldn't believe it, and I read him the Riot Act. And after that, he listened to me for about a half an hour after, you know, because I had many, many things to say against that confession he provided me. But at the end of that, he listened patiently, and he just said, well, I guess I know what you don't believe. Why don't you tell me what you do believe? And that was the very first time. So I was really good at being able to stomp on somebody else's confession. But then when somebody asked me to articulate the origin and nature of the cosmos for myself, I realized that I didn't have an idea. But it was only once – I mean, I had various little tiny pieces of insights in my life that I had gained, like all of us, and I somehow had strung those together and believed that that added up to knowing something about the greater mysteries of life. And, of course, but interestingly, it was that question and only that question that finally forced me to look in and realize that I had no unifying concept. And so that was obviously really important, because then I finally realized I didn't know.
Okay.
So I needed to find out.
Yeah. So what happened from there? Fast forward to at some point, Yeshua, Jesus, basically broke through into your life. Tell us briefly how that materialized.
Right. So I decided I needed to read the Bible as an adult by myself, and I was an English literature major, and I was fascinated immediately with the authenticity of the characters and the big ideas. So with the philosophical bent and in the literature interest, but then I realized it was, you know, obviously it claims to be much more than just an interesting book, and so there were a few things that converged at that time. You know, the relational passions that I had for, you know, love and loving other people and believing that love was primary, that I realized was something that the Bible had a story, a big idea on, which made sense to me, that there was a creator. And also that we were, you know, even though we had these ideas of loving each other, we couldn't really fulfill them. We had all these problems getting in the way with us. And so the idea of being, you know, out of the Creator's will. And then I obviously at some point in my Bible reading I got to the New Testament, and of course that was a big deal for a Jewish person, but I decided, to be intellectually honest, I had to do that. And then I got there, and of course Jesus, you know, I just fell in love with the person and character and teaching of Messiah Jesus, because it's, you know, it's unlike anything else. And so I was, you know, it was breathtaking for me to discover, you know, the quality of his personality and also his teachings. And more importantly, it kind of reinforced these converging lines where I realized that, you know, things, you know, this sensitivity to the moral reality of the world, and that we're out of touch even in ourselves, and we see all around us this breach from what we know should be right and what we should be doing and what other people should be doing. So there was this moral debt, you know, that we all had, and that Messiah Jesus claimed to be the fulfillment, the long-predicted fulfillment from the scriptures to this problem and sent by God and the, you know, the unique Messiah. So those things were heady ideas and thoughts, and eventually they were drawing me in. They were drawing me in, and finally I was ready to at least open myself to the possibility that it really was true. And I began to lay out there, you know, these kind of quasi first attempts at real prayers, and said, you know, if this is real, I guess I really want to know whatever's true, even if it points to Yeshua. And
truth,
and
no matter the cost.
Really,
yep.
Exactly. And at that point, there were a lot of circumstances where it really was clear to me that the supernatural, that God was, you know, kind of intersecting my life to point me directly to Yeshua. And I knew He was my Redeemer. He reconciled me to the Father. And that was, you know, that was obviously the beginning of the end of that big search that for like you described, for significance, and kind of the unification of all those things that I understood and was going for.
You came to that oasis of water for which your soul had been thirsting, like each one of us who's come to faith. Well, I want to, the icing on the cake that we like to tell our Jesus Made Me Kosher listeners is that He's really Jewish too. But let's do this. I want to really enjoy and allow our audience to enjoy some more of your music. This next song, David Stone, it's of course the title track to the CD that recently was released. Set us up for this, and then let's listen to David Stone.
Yeah, thanks. David Stone, you know, is obviously a reference to the biblical story of David and Goliath, and a lot of people, the idea is, you know, who is David Stone in this song? And it would be easy to maybe think that it's, you know, something that it's not. What it is in this song is that we are David Stone, the followers. Just as David grabbed that stone and was able to throw it at the challenge that was in front of him successfully with God's unique help, so we, as followers of the greater Son of David, we are stones in the hand of that Son of David, and that He throws out at the mission of the moment for us as His followers.
So we need to hit our target as well. Here it is, David Stone, Jeff Cook.
David Stone, chosen out of a river. Stone gathered out of the mud and slime. David Stone washed clean, held close to the heart of a child willing to fight. David Stone, one among thousands, millions of stones, as many stars in the sky. Bottom, David Stone, buried under the sinking sand. David Stone, get ready, you've been chiseled by the water to fit the palm, the master's hand. David Stone, one among thousands and millions of stones. Stars in the sky, but this one alone and no other, thrown in the name of the Lord, accomplish the mission of God Most High.
That's David Stone, title track of the CD by the same name, David Stone. And the artist is Jeff Cook. Jeff's with us here on Jesus Made Me Kosher today. Jeff, so love that music. Not just the music, which itself, the production quality on that is amazing, but such a great message. You know, God has assignments for us, and he wants to be able to pull us out of that pouch, you know, a stone readied through the waters and ready to be to hit its target. Really appreciate that. Before I forget, how can people get your music? Where do they go to pick up? I really want to turn people on to this.
Thank you. They can go to my website at www.rhythmpilgrim.com, and they can order a physical copy, only a physical copy there. If they want to download it, they could just go to iTunes or Amazon and search for my name or David's Stone. Usually it will come up just fine there as well.
Rhythmpilgrim.com. .com, okay. We want to give that out again later. Just wonderful music. And now the first one we listened to, Lord Willin' and the Creek Don't Rise, you were in Nashville recording that, and you finished the production on that, what, like the day before they had a big flood there?
Yeah, it was so strange. We finished up recording and the night before, and the weather had already started to get really super strange, and the rain was swirling in these crazy mists. And it was, seemed like it was sometimes going just sideways and upside down in every direction. And just the wind, we just kept thinking, this is the weirdest storm we've ever heard, is, you know, that we were hearing outside the studio. Anyway, so we finished up, and the next day I was able to get out of Dodge, get out of Nashville, back to Chicago on my flight. But that was pretty much the last thing that was able to get out, because then the creek rose.
Oh man, that's so freaky.
It was really, really strange. And but, you know, I guess it's really true that we don't know what's going to happen. You know, that's kind of – it's interesting, because that was kind of what the song – a little bit about what the song was about. And you can't presume, and anything can happen. So.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's amazing. Now, you and your wife, Cheryl, have 7 children, right?
Yes, we do.
And you spent a couple of years serving with the Ministry of Jews for Jesus. I think our paths sort of crossed. I think I was leaving staff right at the time you were coming on. But tell us, well, we're I hate to say it, we're so running short on time. A show like this I wish was twice as long. But when you're not producing music, you're a loan consultant, right?
That's right. Yeah, I'm a loan officer with a mortgage company, so help people get, you know, purchase homes and refinance and stuff like that.
Well, that we'll consider that a way station on the way towards you doing this gig full time, because people really need to get this music, and I know God has lots of things to give you and to give us through you. Tell us if you can, in a minute or so, what's down the road? What are you looking at project-wise and life-wise?
Yeah, thanks. I would love to do a lot more music writing. I have a whole backlog of songs that I'm anxious to get working on. So hopefully that'll be opportunities that come with that. And also to play, we are playing out much more. We basically just started, you know, put the band together, and so we're playing out in the area regionally, and we're also doing something in Asheville at a music festival this summer. So there's a variety of projects, and, you know, just want to see what the Lord has in store, because I can generate. I'm really good at generating all sorts of ideas, but I would. So we'll see. We'll see what comes.
Putting feet to it is the challenge, and I'm hoping that we can. I'm really hoping that we can get you out here to the Detroit area, maybe do some. Something out here. Certainly love to get you at Shema. We'll talk to the powers that be, but really, really enjoy this music. Folks, again, his name is Jeff Cook, our brother in the Lord from a Jewish background, and you can get his music a couple of different ways. You can go to iTunes, type in David's Stone. Jeff Cook, by the way, it's spelled K-O-C-H. Jeff Cook, K-O-C-H. You can also go to Rhythm Pilgrim, all one long word, rhythmpilgrim.com, and find his music there. Amazon will have it. Really want to encourage you. Jeff, so glad that you could take a little time with us today. I wish we had time for that really beautiful Shabbat song, but Shabbat is upon us, and the end of the show is upon us. But thanks so much, dear brother, for coming on the show today.
Thanks a lot for having me, Rabbi Glenn.
All right. Lord's blessings on you, folks. Hope you have a great weekend, a great Shabbat. Want to invite you to join us at Congregation Shema Yisrael, 10:30 tomorrow morning. You can find address and directions at shema.com. So on behalf of all of us at Congregation Shema Yisrael, want to say Shabbat Shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.